From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, June 24th, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Red Zone Wireless, providing a local alternative for broadband throughout Maine. Learn more at redzonewireless.com.
Governor Janet Mills has signed a package of four bills aimed at bringing down the cost of prescription drugs in Maine. Mel Leary has more.
Mills says when the bills are fully implemented, she believes Maine consumers will see a drop in pharmaceutical prices. One of the measures would set up a way for Mainers to buy lower-cost drugs from Canada. Another is designed to protect consumers from unfair practices by pharmacy benefit managers. A third measure would set up a pharmacy board to assess the affordability of drugs. And a fourth would set up a wholesale importation process for drugs. Some of the provisions will need federal approval. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
Democratic Maine House Speaker Sarah Gideon says she'll challenge incumbent Republican Senator Susan Collins in the 2020 Senate race. Gideon says Collins has lost touch with Maine voters.
Maybe at one point she was really different from others in Washington, D.C., but it doesn't seem that way anymore.
Gideon will have to win a Democratic Party primary before she can take on Collins in the fall of 2020. Longtime party activist Betsy Sweet and SACA lawyer Bree Kidman have already launched their campaigns. Gideon says she's confident that she can raise the money needed to win the primary and defeat Collins. Officials in Portland are waiting for the state to decide whether it will loosen general assistance eligibility rules to help the hundreds of asylum seekers who've arrived in the city over the past few weeks. The city hopes to extend general assistance to the new arrivals to help with basic needs like food and housing. The LePage administration restricted eligibility to the program 8 years ago. A spokesperson for the governor's office says the State Department of Health and Human Services is, quote, closely reviewing the eligibility guidelines, and the administration continues to talk with the city. And the last of seven meetings between fishery regulators and Maine lobstermen about endangered North Atlantic right whales is scheduled to take place Thursday in Freeport. Federal regulators have called for the removal of half the vertical trap lines from the Gulf of Maine. The Maine Department of Marine Resources is meeting with lobstermen concerned about potential harm to the industry. In weather tonight, clouds increasing in the west, otherwise mostly clear with lows in the 40s in most of the state, high 50s along the south coast. Tomorrow morning sun and afternoon clouds in the north and east with showers in the west and highs in the 70s. A little bit cooler in the mountains and along the coast. Most parents can plan on their new baby arriving in about 9 months, but it may take longer than that to find childcare. The lack of available infant care in Maine leaves many parents scrambling to piece together a patchwork of solutions until they can secure a slot. And even when they do, many experience sticker shock because the average cost is higher than annual tuition at the University of Maine. In our deep dive series, Patty White reports on the challenge of finding infant care.
It's late spring, 6 weeks before Sophia Cunningham of Wyndham is due with her first baby. She and her longtime boyfriend are nearly ready. She draws back a curtain to show her baby's room is painted.
But since we're having a boy, we decided to paint it blue.
The crib is set up.
It's actually the only brand new thing that we have for the baby. Everything else that we have accumulated is pretty much hand-me-downs.
Cunningham, who's originally from Russia, even has things she doesn't know she needs yet, like a soft mat she was given like with a small thing. Mirror on one end.
What is this? Like, honest to God.
But there's one necessity Cunningham still doesn't have, childcare. She says she's been calling around for months and hasn't found a single open slot.
I called altogether 11 places, so four we are on waiting lists. Six did not call me back, and one I called yesterday.
Cunningham plans to take 12 weeks off from her work as a pastry chef after her baby is born. That means she needs childcare this fall, but the earliest she's been told a slot will be available is January of next year. Another place told her they wouldn't have an opening for more than a year. Cunningham says she had no idea it would be this hard to find infant care. She thought she'd be able to shop around and choose a provider. Now, she feels like she'll be lucky to get any slot.
I'm just starting to panic.
We must get 1 to 3 phone calls a day, mostly looking for infant toddler care.
Lori Moses is executive director of Catherine Morrill Day Nursery in Portland, which currently has a waitlist of more than 4 dozen families vying for just 8 infant slots.
There are tears, there's panic, and people think they're being really proactive and they say, I just found out I was pregnant and I'm looking for childcare now. And it's like, well, you know, if you had applied beforehand, you know, that might work.
Meaning would-be parents should get on waitlists before they've even conceived. With such demand for infant care, you might wonder why Moses or other child care providers don't expand their programs.
It's expensive. It's expensive to offer.
Moses says she actually loses money on infant care. She has to balance the cost with what parents can actually afford to pay. So she charges $323 a week. But the true cost, she says, is closer to $450.
Oh, dear.
It's more expensive because babies require more intense care. In the infant room at Catherine Morrill, Matthew Littlefarmer is one of 2 teachers who takes care of 8 babies. That's the ratio required by the state. Whereas in the preschool room, says Littlefarmer,
you can have like 15 to 18 tuitions supporting 2 teachers.
The tuition from those older children helps to defray the cost of infant care. This is how providers can even offer infant care, says Tara Williams of the Maine Association for the Education of Young Children. And using pre-K tuitions to balance budgets, she says, doesn't work for many providers.
If their budgets are tight, the first thing they're going to do, most likely, is lower the number of infants they're serving or not have any infants in their program at all.
Williams says there's no good data to know the extent of the deficit of infant care in Maine, but the state has seen 600 childcare programs close over the past decade. Meanwhile, more families have 2 working parents. And just as childcare programs struggle with the expense of providing infant care, Williams says parents also struggle to pay for it.
The average cost of infant care, if you're going to a childcare center, is currently more than a UMaine tuition for a year. So infant care, it shifts from year to year, but around $10,000 a year.
Williams says it's unsustainable for parents to shoulder this cost. It's an expense that Sophia Cunningham and her boyfriend are bracing for.
So basically, one of our incomes, which is mine, is going to be totally dedicated to childcare.
Cunningham says she needs to keep her job for benefits, including health insurance. But she also wants to keep her job because she likes her work as a pastry chef. She's decided that the benefits of paying for childcare outweigh the drawbacks. Now she just needs to find it.
I don't like leaving things to chance. Like, I need to have a game plan, especially when it comes to childcare. You know, when you're on your own, you can let something slide, but this is another human being that you're responsible for. I can't have it in limbo.
With no family close by to fall back on, Cunningham and her boyfriend are trying to come up with a backup plan. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And Maine Public's deep dive child care in Maine is made possible in part by the John T. Gorman Foundation and United Way's Women United. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow on Maine Calling at 1 o'clock for a conversation with Maine's new head of inland fisheries and wildlife, Judy Camuso. I'm Nora Flaherty.